Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
More dirt and spray.
Where are you going? And he's like, I'm going bowling. I just started laughing because I'm like, of course you're going bowling on a random Tuesday night.
Sounds like
night.
A great Tuesday night.
It's breakfast time with Dirt and Sprague.
Now, do you have your own ball?
I have two balls.
Starting your day with a big cup of dirt and a little splash of Sprague.
Your spare ball, you don't want it to hook as much, so it will go straighter. And then the strike ball, you want to be able to get some crank on that.
Heat on that.
When you hit the pocket, you get big pin action.
Well, everybody wants to hit the pocket. I mean, come on now.
Dirt and Sprague on the Fan Sports Network.
Hey, welcome back in. Hour number three. Dirt and Sprague here. Portland Sports Leader, 105.1 FM The Fan. 1080 AM, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube. Good morning, everybody. We had a dolphin on the show today. For those who were awake at 6:30, there was a dolphin. It did not go sideways, and he quite enjoyed us playing. Dolphin drops. We interviewed a dolphin on the show. It happened at 6:30, and he gave us some. The dolphin had some great thoughts on Oregon and Iowa, and you can go catch that 1051thefan.com.
There's a writer in Iowa for the Des Moines Register.
Sure.
And he basically did an opinion piece, and it was, this is the biggest home game for Iowa since 2015.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big one for them. The Kirk Ferentz stuff at the end of his career, it's a top 10 team coming to town. They're still alive. I mean, they only have one conference loss. Mm-hmm. One of their losses is a non-conference game to Iowa State, and so they're still playing for a ton. They're alive in the CFP race, technically, at number 20 if they win. So, yeah, well, it's a big one for them.
They had Indiana there a couple weeks back.
They did.
And I thought it was interesting that the opinion for this person, not that it's the right opinion, is that this is the biggest one in a decade. And
Indiana was not ranked. Gary was a little wrong on that because he told us that Indiana was they were not ranked number two when that game happened.
No,
Oregon was the higher
ranked
team.
They were high ranked. I mean,
they were top
10.
Yeah.
I think he's just talking about what they're ranked now. But
yes,
the overall takeaway I had from it, whether it's true or not true, there's a lot of people that do feel that way. And I think that's a combination of Iowa's standings, of Oregon's current ranking, but also just of Oregon.
Yeah.
I think Oregon, whatever you feel about Oregon, it's abundantly clear that if they go to your stadium, it's a big game. And, you know, that's an interesting opinion takeaway of like, it's been a decade. This is the biggest one we've had. That says a lot about, I think, this is the program that's been built down in Eugene.
Yeah, I also think there's the uniqueness of it where it's not the same Big Ten team that you've always played that's ranked, right? It's the first time Oregon's there in a long time. It's a program who's been nearly at the top of the sport for 25 years now. And so, yeah, I totally get that from Iowa's side. And I do want to talk. We'll get back into the Lincoln Riley stuff because that was a bomb that Josh Pay dropped yesterday. And just kind of expand on that and have some other thoughts on the college football weekend. So that's right around the corner. It's interesting when you look at Iowa because you've been referencing this Kirk Ferentz stuff all morning, and I don't know how I would feel. I have a lean one way on how I would feel if I were an Iowa fan about Kirk Ferentz being the head coach and that longevity, but it's also not easy to say when you're not walking in those shoes, right?
Yeah.
I'm not living the day in and day out of an Iowa fan.
Right.
I got no issue with Iowa other than them being the first primary every year in presidential elections. That bothers me. Why does Iowa always get to go first?
It's got to be tradition. I don't know.
I mean, it is tradition. That drives me nuts.
No, you can't.
Shouldn't
break
we spread it around? And then we get primaries and others. Like, our primary never matters because everything's basically decided by the time it gets to Oregon. Shouldn't we change it up a little bit and have a spotlight on other states? That's my main beef with Iowa.
So really?
If I'm looking for Iowa beef, I hate that they get to be first every time there's a presidential election.
Any other
it
political
drives me
beefs?
Nuts.
Do you want to talk about how many senators each state gets?
Sure. It should be more representative of population, but that's a whole other can of worms that I'm not going to open right now.
Okay,
I just
right.
am
Sorry,
airing my grievances with the state
that's
of
your
Iowa.
Beef with Iowa.
I have no beef with their football program.
Gotcha.
They punt a lot. They're very good defensively. But that's my main beef with them. I tend to think if I were an Iowa fan, I would be happy with my lot in life. Now, that is a lot easier said than done.
Mm-hmm.
He has been there forever. Basically, their low watermark is 6-6, right? You got your ups and your downs. And he is the kind of coach that's not going to portal in a new roster every year and win 10, 11 games year in and year out.
He's dabbling in it, but he can't do it the way
not
some
quite
others
to that
can,
level, yeah. Right? There's going to be a pop year where they win 10 or 11, and then you're assuming the next year you lose a bunch of guys to the NFL, and then you go down to 7 or 8 wins. And then you're back up to 9, 10, 11, and then you're back down to 7 or 8 wins. And it just kind of ebbs and flows, I feel like, throughout the course of his career. Offensively, there would definitely be frustration as a fan, but I also look at the program and like, should you have higher expectations in that at Iowa? And they might win this weekend, and they might win the, who knows how the rest of the year is going to go. But I think if I were an Iowa fan, I'd be cool with Kirk Ferentz being my head coach, because the unknown is a big uncertain of what's around the corner.
Well, it's an absolute stable of consistency, yes. Right? Like, I think that's kind of my overall point. I'm not trying to crap on Kirk Ferentz. I don't want that to be the takeaway. I'm just kind of curious, and I think we all in this area, whether Oregon was playing or not, if we were said, hey, Kirk Ferentz, your thoughts, I think we'd all massively say the same thing, right? Hey, that's good for Iowa.
That's a good coach for Iowa.
Iowa should be happy with their lot in life. Like, you look at the win losses over the years for Kirk Ferentz. When he comes in there, they win one game, right? And it's like, oh, how about that? Yeah, he's got some 10-win seasons in there. He's got the 11-win season. He has the 12-win season in 2015.
Yeah.
I'm more curious how this is going to continue to evolve. I don't know if he retires this year or what, but
he seems like he's knocking on the door every year.
Well, he's close to 70 if he's not 70 already, right? So he's at that age. But, like, how is this going to evolve for him and them in this era of the Big Ten?
Yeah.
And this is kind of where I was thinking yesterday, listening to stuff of, I don't disagree that the expectations at Iowa should not be what they are at Penn State.
You're not a national title contender.
No. And I don't think anybody would ever have that takeaway. But they did also benefit from being in the crappiest of divisions in major college football for how long in the Big Ten?
Without a doubt.
The North, South, or the Legends, or the
Legends and Leaders.
Yeah, the Losers and Legends is basically
you
how
had
it
Michigan,
down.
Ohio State, and Penn State all in the same division.
Yeah, and Iowa, give them credit where credit is due. In their division, they were reigning supreme, or they at least taking advantage of the seasons when they could. But he's 30-58 against AP top 25 teams when he played them. They're coming into this game 0 for their last 11 against ranked teams. And again, I think there's a little bit of truth in here of, yeah, I don't think Iowa could expect more, but also, are you just beating up Rutgers and Minnesota and Maryland and then never beating the good teams?
Yeah.
You know, he has some good seasons here. I'm not suggesting
sure.
he can't
And it's
coach.
Not that he never has, because he has pulled off big upsets. But I see your point on the losing streak against ranked opponents. It would be frustrating.
The article, if you look up, like, coaches' records in this conference, the article is labeled Kirk Ferentz's most ranked wins of Big Ten coaches. And you're like, ooh, and then you dive in, and you're like, oh, going into the year, he's 30-56?
Okay, yeah, he's been there a long time. You get
well,
four
but both
crack,
sides
yeah,
of that
right.
are true, right?
Right?
Like, he has the most wins because he's been there for a long time.
Yes.
Also very below 500
yes.
because he's been there for a long time. So. Yes. I'm more just kind of curious, is he a coach that your team goes against and you're scared of?
I think at this time of year and the situation that they're in, yeah. I don't know if it's always the case with Iowa year in and year out, because that, again, is the reality. There's going to be ebbs and flows of them as a football program where you're going to have your highs and your lows, and some years they're 6-6 and you're not scared at all.
Like, are you more nervous this year than you would have been last year if you're playing Iowa at the same time of the season? Because they were 8-5 last year, so they were technically a worse team.
Probably. I also can't remember a lot of details of Iowa's team last year other than they punted a lot. Like, they're kind of the same team every year with slightly different versions of it, if you will. But their DNA traits have been the same for 20 years.
I do feel like Pate's going to steal my thing of the idea of an Iowa game.
Yes, it's great in theory.
It's great on paper because it's usually a ranked matchup, but you don't enjoy watching the game.
I mean, it's the equivalent for, you can make this argument in my face. I'm a big snow football guy. Mm-hmm. I love the aesthetic of it. And then you turn it on and you're like, all right, they can't really run. You know,
they can't really throw.
But it looked pretty though, man. There's snow on the ground.
Snow angels.
I'm sitting in my house all nice and warm and toasty on my couch watching some snow on the field. So that's kind of cool. So I don't remember all the details of Iowa last year, so it's hard to kind of project that. But I would say, yeah, like just knowing Iowa's DNA traits and how tough they are defensively and how they've been doing. The fascinating part about him, and it's funny when you listen to coaches and players who've been around a long time, like there, you could talk to somebody who coached and game planned against Kirk Ferentz in 2007 in 2003.
Yeah.
That would, it's like, and then you game plan for them. It's literally the same thing. They do, it's been the same team for 26 years.
Yep.
With slightly better offenses, slightly, you know, it just kind of, you know, again, ebbs and flows. That's what's most remarkable for me. He's never had to reinvent himself. And so many coaches have something that they lean on and then they kind of lose it. Like, we just went through this with Gundy at Oklahoma State. Gundy was a bit of this. He was there for a long time. Mm-hmm. Not really a national title contender, but some really good years. Came close to breaking through.
Flirted with it.
Flirted with it a little bit. Won a conference title here, that, you know, and then all of a sudden it's like, what happened to your DNA? You kind of lost your way and you got fired and everything's kind of cratered in on itself. And so to be able to do it for that long, I do think there's a deep level of respect for having the same team essentially for this long. Phil Parker's been there forever, and it's just,
I have a tremendous amount of respect for him. I'm more just kind of curious, does he scare you as a coach?
I think the situation of Iowa scares me, and he is adjacent to that. Yeah. So, yeah, I think playing...
He's built it.
Yeah. He deserves credit for it. Like, when you look at Hayden Fry, who was the coach before last time Oregon and Iowa played, mm-hmm. He was there for 20 years. He was their head coach from 1979 until 1998.
Right.
He had, in that stretch, essentially 20 years, three seasons where he won 10 games.
Yeah.
And Kirk Ferentz did it 3 years in a row from 2002 to 2004 within 5 years of taking
over. It's very hard to comp. It's a little Steelers-esque, right? It's hard to comp when you have two guys for like 50 years.
They have had two coaches since 1979.
So there's a little bit of like, that's hard to comp even though.
Yes.
Because Hayden Fry didn't play in the losers division of the Big Ten.
No, he did
The leaders
not.
And the losers.
That is a totally fair point about scheduling. But I'm not trying to take away it.
Totally
fair.
He took advantage of it, and his system is proven to have success. You have to admire, whether you coach and you volunteer for your kids' team or you've been watching sports your whole life, you obviously have a lot of admiration and respect for a dude that can do it that long.
Yeah.
At one place and not move around and not jump at the first chance to cut bait. But yeah. I also am like, where they're at right now is interesting. I'm looking forward to this game a lot, but 0 for your last 11 against ranked teams and very below 500 against ranked teams in general since 99. You know, are you just beating Rutgers a lot? And if you are, kudos to you, tip of the cap. I can't wait to see what Phil Parker and him are going to have planned up for Oregon in bad weather.
It's funny, though, too, because even though they've gotten rid of divisions, now these bloated conferences are so big, you're still going to have years where you can catch. And we talked about this with Indiana last year. You didn't have to play.
You avoid the big dogs.
You avoid big dogs. Right. I mean, that's kind of who. I mean, look at Ohio State's conference schedule this year. They don't play Indiana, who's the number two team in the Big Ten. They don't play Oregon, who's currently the number three team in the Big Ten, or you're tied for it, I guess, with Michigan.
They have a down Penn State team now.
You got Washington on the road. You got them early in the year. So that was, you know, it's a challenge. Place to go play, but
off
Washington is a you know, they've lost a couple of conference games and it was off of a bye, and so you don't have to play USC. They didn't have to play Iowa this year. They do get Michigan at the end of the year, so everybody's going to benefit from it. Everybody's going to have their tough year scheduling wise. But I think the idea of being excited for an Iowa game and then turning it on and it being different is totally valid. And I know I'm in that way as a fan. Like, I'm pumped for this game because I'm going to find out a lot about Oregon. We'll make our picks coming up in 30 minutes. But I acknowledge going in, this is going to it's going to be ugly.
Well, I think the feelings, I think your overall feelings, if you're a fan of Oregon and you're going into this game, you can have a lot of respect for Ferentz. Your overall feelings of Iowa, I think, will reflect of how does it feel to lose to them versus fill in the blank the other Big Ten teams.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's play a little bit of audio on the other side. Dan Lanning talked about the Big Ten and then also his resume this year. We'll get into the Lincoln Riley stuff. We got our Big Pack picks coming up at 8:45. I'm going to dive back into the NFL. We still got a ton to get to, man. And the Magic Hats coming up at the top of the hour. Back after this, 105.1 FM, The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we got the Magic Hat coming up top of the hour for those who are usually not around in the 6 a.m. hour. I'll kind of remind you, we've done it later in the show a time or two. I think we've had other times or instances where things have come up on a Thursday at 6:30, and we're going to move it permanently going forward. So if you're a 9 a.m. listener always and you're new to the Magic Hat, we'll explain to you, and you're in luck. It's not going anywhere. I got my Magic Hat submissions. They're ready to go. I'll go hand them to Swigard in the commercial break. Dan Lanning. What ESPN radio show is this on?
Amber and Ian?
Amber and Ian. Is that Ian Fitzsimmons? Is that the Ian?
Yes.
Okay, who's Amber?
Amber Wilson.
Amber Wilson. Okay.
Come on now.
And, you know, I mentioned earlier, Pate had a rant on his show Tuesday when the rankings came out of, like, Oregon at 9, they don't have a ranked win, okay. And his main argument was, we got to think about the Penn State game differently. Like, moment in time, they were an undefeated team. It was a wideout. And part of the reason in his argument, now we'll never know this, it's a, you know, nobody knows how a different alternate reality would have played out. Hmm. But his argument essentially being that a reason why Penn State's in the spot they're in is because Oregon beat them in the way that they beat them. And they just couldn't recover from that. And so he thinks they're doing a little disservice to Oregon on their resume because of what's happened to Penn State. Dan Lanning was asked about this yesterday. Hey, how's your resume, Dan? Here's what he said.
I get it. It's based off of, you know, what really, a lot of teams probably felt preseason. Everyone thought that Penn State would be a highly ranked win for us. And I certainly think that Penn State was a capable team. You know, Northwestern ended up being better than other people anticipated when you start looking at our schedule. But there's no secret that we played some really good teams these last 4 weeks. So Iowa, USC, Washington, and Minnesota are all tough teams. So it all takes care of itself. Just go win. And if you don't win, that's on you. So what do we have to do? We have to go win.
And that's the right mentality. I said that yesterday when we were reacting, because I know some Duck fans did see 9 and said, that's, you know, how dare you? There's 6 in the AP. And I get it. I do think there's validity to them not giving enough credit for the win at Penn State. I do buy into that. But also, 3 of your last 4 games are against ranked opponents. I also just, like, a lot of people have kind of circled Oregon and said, how are they going to survive this? Look at the gauntlet. The November schedule is tough. I just hope we don't. If Oregon does run away, if they win out is the right phrase I'm looking for, I hope that we don't then change the phrasing of that. I have no clue if they're going to win this weekend, but I've heard a lot of people do the Iowa's a tough place, Iowa's a tough team, and I am terrified of going to Kinnick on Saturday and playing in those elements. I hope if they win, it's not a change of tune all of a sudden of like, well, yeah, Iowa doesn't have an offense. Of course you won the game. Or, yeah, USC doesn't have a defense. Of course you won the game. Like, I keep hearing people tell me, and I agree, with how difficult their November schedule is, I hope it's viewed properly if they are to win out.
I think people who don't like the Ducks and want to troll you will say that. I think realistic people watching and following college football, especially the committee members, will view it that way.
The committee members hang their hat at the door when they walk in.
Is it a 3 or 4 bid league to you? Like, there is a scenario where they win at Iowa, they lose to USC, USC wins out as a 2-loss team, and Oregon becomes a 2-loss team. Conference get a 4 bid?
In my mind, in that scenario, Oregon would be in because they'd have a ranked win on the road at Iowa, and you're telling me the Washington game is likely a ranked win. So then your resume looks a lot better, and you would have a slip up to the number 2 team in the country, and
the number
whatever USC would be ranked in that moment. So, yeah, I tend to think they'd be in, but also, to Dan Lanning's point, just win. Don't even worry about it, right?
Yeah,
go win your games, and who the hell cares, right? I don't care where you're seated and where you're ranked. You went out, you're in the college football playoff. He was also asked yesterday, now this was at his Wednesday press conference, he got a little spicy with the player. Did you see that?
Mm-hmm.
Dakota Fields entered the portal.
Yeah, he was like, he just didn't show up for work.
Just didn't.
Guess what we're doing now, huh?
Didn't even call. Didn't
he was very nice about Florence entering the portal.
He was. I think most coaches understand it. And those guys, like Florence has been around a while, and they have been surpassed by 3 freshmen on the depth chart. You have 2 true freshmen, one of them who's maybe the best corner you've had in a long time, Brandon Finney, and then the other one, Naeem Offer, has been a little banged up, but when healthy is ahead of them. And then Ife Obadegwu is a redshirt freshman, and those are your starting corners right now. So it's guys who are looking at the depth chart saying, I'm not going to play, I'm out of here.
They like to recruit certain people of a certain character. And I my takeaway hearing the way he talked about that kid... Never say never, but I wouldn't expect him to be a Dante Moore guy who was recruited.
No, you're not coming back.
Hey,
the door's
shut. Come back. I think that door's shut.
That door is absolutely shut. But he was asked yesterday, too, about just the Big Ten. You're playing in all these Big Ten environments. Is this the most traditional Big Ten game you're playing? Here he is on the conference.
I don't know. I mean, this league's it's got more variety than people realize, so every week's a little bit different. But this is certainly one. When I talk about Iowa, you talk about a team that has an identity. And if they've had an identity for a long time, ever since Coach Ferentz has been there, it's been really clear. You know, they're going to play great defense, be really good on special teams, be physical in the run game, you know, and be able to take advantage of shots and opportunities there. This team certainly has an identity, I'll say that.
I mean, this feels like traditional Big Ten game, man. This is it. Cold weather, Iowa, punts, field position, don't go for it on 4th down. We've made it.
You won the conference, so the easy answer is yes. You excited about this new lot in life that you guys are playing in snow and
I just
wind
prefer to play them earlier in the year so we can track meet it and they can't keep up, but I don't know if we're going to be able to do that. Can we get it in like our late September next time we play Iowa, Kinnick? Can they come to Hudson? I know we get bad weather here this time of year.
It'd be kind of a nightmare in your mind to go from what Oregon kind of ascended as to you becoming like slightly more successful Wisconsin. Just big uglies.
Yeah, that would suck.
Run and wet.
I'm too
weather.
Used to. We were that way a little bit with Mario. Like Mario won, bit, yeah, but let's sure. not ever act like they were good. Like they weren't elite offensively. They no. never unleashed Herbert. They caged him in and didn't let him be the athlete that he yeah. was.
They left you wanting more. For
He's
sure.
been better in the NFL than he was I under know. You know Mario Cristobal and Marcus Arroyo. So they were kind of that way for 4 years. Let's get big. Let's get physical. Let's run the ball. And then you know it didn't work out because they didn't have good quarterback play.
Right.
It usually ends up backfiring on you. So we'll have more thoughts on this. That's a little bit of an Iowa peekaboo.
Whoa,
we're all excited.
Well, Lanning will be on at 4:00.
4:00.
What he thinks about that game and other things.
Who are we all going to take? Did you know our Big Pack picks? You got 20 minutes to figure it out.
Oh, I already know.
If you haven't decided already,
Beavs on a heat.
Oh,
Beavs on a heat.
Three in a row. Break them up. Here they come. Let's get to though the bomb that Josh Pate dropped, and then a couple of the thoughts on the college football weekend. Lincoln Riley. Threw that grenade out yesterday with Will Compton and Taylor Lewan. They do a Bussin' with the Boys college football show every Wednesday, I believe it is, every week, and kind of go through the games. And at the very end of it, he said, how about this grenade to throw out? Keep an eye on Lincoln Riley. We asked him about it, and he said, I keep hearing from multiple people, from different, independent of each other. Lincoln Riley is a name to keep an eye on. What does it mean? And then some other thoughts on the college football weekend. That is next. All right, Big Pack Picks coming up a little over 10 minutes from now. Magic Hat, top of the hour. We'll get into Thursday Night Football a little bit. Broncos and Raiders, AFC West showdown.
I want you to try to close the show. I want you to rank the top five. Well, this is tough because Franklin got fired.
He did.
Who are your top three coaches in the Big Ten that would piss you off if they beat you?
Oh.
Is Kirk Ferentz in a list? I want...
Let me think about that. I'm going to noodle on that bad boy.
Okay.
One of them who would really piss me off, who might not be in the Big Ten very longer, is Lincoln Riley. Because Josh Pate yesterday, and then earlier on our show, referenced that there's some scuttle out there, that people are talking behind the scenes that he is a name to keep an eye on. Now, it does not mean that USC doesn't have the money to fire him. That's not going to happen. They're not in a great spot financially, and his buyout is massive. And so even if they lose the rest of their games, which they're not, they play Northwestern at home on Friday. Then they get Iowa. What's the other one in there? Oregon, obviously, on the road, and then UCLA. So those are their four last remaining games. Got a chance to win all four. They could lose two of them. I have no clue how their season's going to play out. But his name continues to get brought up behind the scenes as a guy who might be on the move to another job, then another big-time school might be willing to pay the massive buyout to go get Lincoln Riley. Your reaction to this, and what would your thought be if Lincoln Riley were to leave USC?
I wouldn't be overly stunned. You recall a few weeks ago when we were talking a lot about the coach stuff, we kind of wondered aloud, is that somebody that would randomly leave? He left Oklahoma at midnight.
He did.
Lost Oklahoma State and was like, hey, I'm going to USC.
Fan base has been a little flustered. Expectations not quite met 4 years in.
Here's where I wonder.
Hmm.
Now, that's the thing, right? If he's going to leave, where's he leaving to?
I mean, you have to imagine if it's somebody that's willing to pay his buyout that it has to be... LSU. I mean, the last time LSU was open, everybody thought he was taking that job.
Yeah.
And then out of nowhere, he left for USC.
They made the interim guy the permanent guy at LSU, the AD.
Does Florida have that kind of cash on hand to make a big swing like that?
I wonder if it's another Big Ten team.
Penn State? You think you go to Penn State?
Oh.
Penn State?
I think everything is in play with that guy.
Yeah, I mean...
Who's paying you, and what's the situation? Like, because say this, USC, he is... By record, not done anything of note for that fan base, right? I think this year there's been a lot of moments for them where they're like, oh, maybe next year with Mayava. And,
yeah.
Okay. We've been saying that for 2 years now, so I don't know if that is true.
They beat Nebraska on the road. He ended that problem that he'd had. But also, let's not act like a big part of that wasn't Dylan Raiola going down and Nebraska not being able to throw the football.
We've talked to Ryan Abraham, though, a couple times. A good friend of the show covers USC. Mm-hmm. And he has kind of expressed that Lincoln might feel a certain way about the investment and the collective at USC. You know who I wouldn't be worried about and who I know is fully invested in their football program? We are.
Penn State.
I'm just saying.
Him leaving USC for Penn State would be wild. Just the idea of it on, I'm not surprised. I thought maybe more so that would have been if like the season crashes, and maybe it does, right? Maybe they lose to Northwestern tomorrow night at home and then they get killed by Oregon and then UCLA beats them and you're like, what the hell happened here? You went 7-5. Maybe that's how it plays out. But I think we're looking at probably a 9-win team, right? I don't know if Iowa can go on the road and beat them. We'll see on that note. UCLA will be feisty, but I don't know. They're not great on the road, so we'll see if they handle the Oregon game. But I think you're looking at probably a 9-3 season at worst for USC.
Well,
and that being like a separating of ways doesn't seem like it would be in the cards if things don't hit the side of a mountain.
He reportedly, now I don't know how true this is, and maybe he is going to go to LSU. He reportedly didn't want to go to the SEC, right?
That was the rumor at the time.
He didn't want to be with Oklahoma because they were going. Okay, if that was true in any way, you get to stay in the conference. What's the one thing he's been bitching about as the USC coach?
Travel, kick time, schedule.
What do you have to worry about when you're at Penn State?
You got to go to the West Coast, but not an early morning
kick
time.
They ain't playing big nooners.
Yeah.
So
not on the West Coast, they're not.
I don't know who it is. It could very well could be Florida, it could be LSU, it could be Auburn. If that is a live option for a school, that is one that's very interesting to me, and I wouldn't be shocked if he did it.
Be wild. Be crazy. In the Big Ten, when you look at it, if Lincoln Riley were to leave, I thought... To walk away from USC, a job that we all would have considered and have considered for a very long time, one of the best in the sport, would be strange. But there's a lot of money out there, and if somebody's willing to pay that, nobody knows exactly what his buyout is because they're a private school, so it's an estimated buyout.
Well, and then imagine who is going for the USC job then. Where would that job opening up compare to Florida,
I mean,
Auburn?
It'd be huge, right?
LSU, like, where would it stack for
you? You would cross one of the jobs off the list, right? Because Lincoln, in this scenario, would be taking that job. USC would be immediately... If Lincoln were to take the Penn State job, in your theory, I mean, LSU, Florida, and USC are 1A, 1B, and 1C. LSU probably number one on that list, I would say.
I would imagine the story of not as invested as they need to be in this world of college football about USC would come out because Lincoln would leak that.
There's also more nastiness, and we're trying to do a... we're trying to be cognizant of talking more about football than we are job openings every day because this is like an As the World Turns soap opera. Ah. But on that note, the latest events out of LSU were hilarious. They promoted the... interim president, and then they said something about the athletic director, and then they came back and were like, well, no, actually, no, that's not going to happen. They're like walking stuff back a day after announcing something. So they're not still aligned behind the scenes, and that's going to create a problem.
So this interim guy, before he was named the official, I had read that they were going to let the interim guy make the hire. This was the day after they said the committee was, and the committee was like, what?
And then the interim guy was going to make the hire, and then they were like, well, now we don't know if the interim guy's going to... It just... Yeah, things are going swimmingly.
Do you think John Morant's going to get traded?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. Let me throw a couple games at you quickly, and we'll get to our Big Pack picks in a second. A few games that we might not talk a ton about tomorrow, because it is a big Oregon-Iowa weekend, and some other ones that we're going to keep an eye on. LSU-Bama do anything for you on the upset meter, 1 out of 10 scale?
Yeah.
Yeah?
It should. They have talent to do it. I definitely think there's a world where Brian Kelly's not your coach, and you feel a lot better about your life. He doesn't seem like the most enjoyable person to be around. They have a Cajun as their interim head coach. That's always a dangerous live thing.
They do.
And, you know, look, I know Bama's coming off of the bye. There's definitely a world where they come in a little sluggish and sleepy and, oh, my God, LSU is up 14-0. That exists? Yeah, it should be live. They have talent.
And both teams are coming off a bye, too, so it's not like there's a scheduling benefit that you get a lot right now in the Big Ten. SEC is really good at that.
This is a Super Bowl kind for LSU, given that way the season's gone.
I got nothing to lose, dude. What do you got? Just another game? Your coach already got fired? You're not going to the playoff. You're not going to the SEC title game. So that's a fun one. That is the primetime game on ABC on Saturday night, for those of you who can still watch that. Texas A&M, speaking of the SEC, on the road at Missouri. Only a 6.5-point line in that game. Missouri starting quarterbacks out for the rest of the year, or at least for the foreseeable future. I think we're all kind of waiting for A&M to look mortal, and it's not like they've blown everybody out. Like, I do think it's important to take a look back at their resume and say, well, they gave up 42 and damn near blew it to Arkansas. They were in a dogfight at home against Auburn, who only won 16-10, and their offense really struggled. And then, you know, the Notre Dame game was a great game. They also had a fourth down conversion late in that game to win it. So they have been escaping in certain times, and now they go on the road to a feisty Missouri team this weekend.
Yeah, the only thing is, which of the three undefeateds at the top do you think is the most likely to suffer a loss? Is it Ohio State, Indiana, or them?
I would say right now,
because I've been whiffing on A&M, and I feel like
I'm thinking they're going to lose.
Well,
and then
they've had some close nail biting games.
Yeah,
the Notre Dame game obviously comes to your mind. I think it was Arkansas.
Yeah, Arkansas was 45-42.
Yeah, the last second field goal. So like, there's certainly some stuff about them that's shown they might be vulnerable to that loss. But then they do last week and what they did, and you're like, oh my God.
Is this team a lot better than I thought they were?
Well, I give them a lot of respect, but yes, they feel like of the three.
Can I give you a hot take on who I think is most likely to lose? Maybe people disagree with this. There's just something in my head until I see them beat them. You know who's got to go on the road in the rivalry game at the end of the year?
Ohio State.
Four in a row.
I know, and last year we would have said
Michigan
no way.
Couldn't throw a forward pass last year, and they beat them in Columbus. And that team was the deaths. That's one of the most talented college football teams we've ever seen.
Yeah.
There's a mental side of that's in Ann Arbor. Michigan may or may not have something to play for at that point. We'll see how they could be in as a two-loss team if they win that game. I'd have to go look at the rest of their schedule.
Can they run the football against Ohio State? Because if they can, that's going to be a
long day. Then they're in the mix. And Underwood's at home, and so he's not uncomfortable on the road. Yeah. Like, Michigan has had moments this year where they haven't looked great. Last week, they were in a dogfight with Purdue.
So your answer is Ohio State of the three?
Most likely to lose, yeah. I think I would go Ohio State 1, A&M 2, because A&M's got Missouri on the road this week, and then they play at Texas, I think, in the last week of the season. So one, like, yeah, I'd put, and the Indiana, I would be shocked if Indiana were to lose a game.
Yeah.
They just seem like a wagon. Their remaining games, they're at Penn State this weekend.
Mm-hmm. That's a win.
Right?
They're handling their business.
Wisconsin at home and at Purdue. Those are their final three games. They're 9-0. So, be interesting. And then if Ohio State were to lose that game and Oregon and Michigan were to win out, let's have fun deciding that tiebreaker scenario.
Isn't it like common opponent? I'm going to disagree
with Michigan and Ohio State didn't play Indiana, so that would be Oregon's only loss in that scenario.
We need an email for that one.
We need.
I'm going to say A&M.
Give me the format.
Oh, A&M, most Ohio State, and then Indiana, because I think Indiana's schedule just sets it up for them.
Yeah. So we'll see a couple of big games in the SEC this weekend. Chaos is continuing to unfold. That's not quite a full 2007 season, but we're knocking on the door a little bit. A few more top 10 upsets this weekend. We could get a little bit closer. Magic Hat coming up at 9 o'clock. We'll dive into some NFL stuff. But next, it is time. Our official award-winning Big Pack Picks. How did we do last week? Only picking one game. How are we going to do this week? We'll find out next. 105.1 FM, The Fam.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Suffering through European soccer conversations during commercial breaks. You and Patrick need to be stopped.
Ole, ole,
start a podcast already. All right.
Big one for Forrest.
Nobody
today.
Cares. Nobody cares. Nobody cares.
Strumgertz.
No one cares.
It's not a good team.
It's on the CBS Sports Network today for you.
Literally. No one cares.
It's on Paramount Plus only?
CBS cares. Sports Network.
Speaking of Paramount Plus,
or something.
Can we count on anything?
Yeah.
Dirt?
Dirt?
Dirt? Can we count
what
on anything?
What can you count on?
What can you count on?
I can count on you pissing me off with your nonsense soccer hogwash BS.
I'm sorry that it fits perfectly in my life.
You can also
schedule.
Count on Sundays with the NFL on there CBS and Paramount Plus. Stream
damn
your
right.
local NFL game live every Sunday all season long, starting at just $30 for your first year. That's like $250 a month. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today.
I gave you a perfect header, mate. You put it in.
No one cares!
All right, we got a lot to get to. Mail sack, or not mail sack, magic hat coming up top of the hour.
Tell you, our set pieces better be ready.
Jesus.
We're very bad at the set pieces, and our set defense is horrific.
Just let me know when you're done. Are you done?
They win today. The momentum's kind of turned a little bit with
this. If
we
go long here, I just would like to point out, don't yell at me. It's not my fault. You done? Are we all done?
I don't think man bun in your future.
Are we all done?
I don't think I've done anything to disappoint him more than this.
No, this is it. This is probably the most offensive thing.
Yeah.
You could make fun of me for Oregon. Oregon losing this weekend, you can make fun of me, and it wouldn't hurt me more than you deciding to follow European soccer.
Premier League.
Nobody cares. All right. Bill, here we go. Big PP picks. Here's how we did last week. I lost. You guys won. I took the Cougs. What was I thinking? I should have known the Beavs have the Cougs number. My dumbass trusted the Cougs on the road.
Don't check the tape because I definitely had all the confidence Oregon State was going to cover that small number.
I believe the phrase was used of remind me next Thursday how bad this pick was, but you, hey, So the victor go the spoils. You guys took Oregon State.
Yeah.
There was only one game to pick last week. Season standings, Sprague still in first place, 19-11 now.
Hello.
I am now down to 16-14, just slightly above 500. Swag climbing his way out of the cellar, 13-17 on the year.
There we go.
Here we go. We go in chronological order of games, and that means, ladies and gentlemen, the first game up on the weekend is 12:30 right here on The Fan. Which, by the way, come hang out at Grand Central Bowl on Saturday morning. Got good breakfast burritos. Anthony Newman and I will be there.
Nice.
Do they have good breakfast
burritos?
They're
going to have the lanes open?
They do. I'm assuming. I have not confirmed nor denied that the lanes are open, but I know they will be open. And Joe Fisher has told me the breakfast burrito, 10 out of 10.
Ah.
So I'm going to be getting one of them while I'm there.
There you go.
We'll be talking Oregon and Iowa. The game will kick off at 12:30. Your line currently in A&A, similar as same as it is everywhere else, 6.5. Iowa plus 6.5 at home.
I'd like to know why a certain host on this station just gave our producer a breakfast burrito and not us.
Oh, controversial.
Oh, yeah. Real problems with it.
Are we talking about who I think we're talking about?
Yeah.
Sure. All right. I'm going to remember that.
Yeah. Well,
I'm going
to. So, well, he's filling in, I'm like.
I was listening to the boys.
And he's doing his pilot's game notes during our show.
We're not affected. Do I not like breakfast burritos?
I mean, what the hell?
I don't even know he's in there half the time. He's leaning over doing stuff for the pilots. I'm looking over. He's disappeared.
He's doing pilot game
prep. He's got eight jobs going on at the same time. None of it's our fault. We're impacted. I want a burrito.
Give me Oregon.
Okay.
Oregon covering the number. Look, I do think it's going to get ugly, but I think this is going to be in that 26 to 13 range.
Okay. I like the randomness of that.
Field goals, dude.
Field goals, field safeties, or a safety mix in there? Just threes? Are we going by threes? A lot of threes?
Yeah, I don't know how we're going to get there, but we're going
to
get
there. One touchdown and like seven field goals? Is that what we're doing here?
Yeah, okay. I can see that. All right.
I don't think so. I think Oregon's going to, I think they are going to go on long, sustained drives.
Jackass has come out with your stupid soccer talk, and now you're going to do this?
And they can cover, less than a touchdown.
Out, right? Yeah, why not?
I think Sadiq is going to be huge in this game because they can throw 3 and 4 yard quick routes to him, but he can drag a couple of guys and turn them into seven, and he might even break one at some point.
Today I'm laying the big wood.
That's what that sounded like to me. You guys better not lose that game. That's easy. Easy money at Iowa.
I mean, you know where I'm going. They got 4 touchdown passes on the year. Give me the Ducks.
Have you ever not picked them this season?
Yeah, I didn't pick them against Rutgers, and they won by 70.
That's right.
Yeah, it was a big spread.
Wasn't it 17?
I think it was a little bit more than that, but maybe not.
Their biggest spread was the 30-burger, Wisconsin.
Yeah. They've been the Wisconsin spread was big.
Yeah.
We all took them to cover.
I think Rutgers was like 17.5.
Yeah. Flying 3,000 miles away, tough loss. I thought, you might be able to have a little hangover there, and it was 49-0 at halftime. Next up will be 1:30 on the Big Ten Network. Both teams coming off a bye, same as Oregon and Iowa. And they are Washington going on the road to Wisconsin. Sounds like weather will play a part in this game as well. And again, 1:30 kick on the Big Ten Network. Wisconsin catching 10.5. Wisconsin plus 10.5 at home.
I'm taking the Badgers plus the 10.5. I don't love it. I don't like it at all. I hate that team. But bad weather, Huskies road versus Huskies home.
Yeah.
Different thing. If DeMond can't quite get it going through the air, going to be a big can we lean on Coleman game. Ugly. I think the Huskies get it, but I could see a little bit of a motivated. Wisconsin just played Oregon very tough.
They did.
Yeah. Their defense isn't the worst. I'll take the points. I'll take Wisconsin plus 10.5.
Okay.
Yeah, 10.5.
Yeah.
And the Huskies have just gotten off to horrible starts on the road. They cannot find their rhythm on the road at all.
20-0 to Maryland.
Didn't you guys see a shirtless Wisconsin fan base in the stands up like 10?
Are they packing that place? You think it's going to be a good atmosphere?
No, I'm talking about the students.
Sure.
The shirtless thing going on.
I think that's part of the difficulty of playing. I guess Maryland doesn't have a very tough place to play, and Washington was bad there, but that's the other part of it for me is like how tough will the environment be outside of the
weather. Get the weather and the environment, and I think Wisconsin can shorten the game. The Huskies, front seven isn't truly imposing. If they can grind it out a little bit, shorten the game, keep it close. Yeah, I'll take those 10.5 points.
I don't like that I'm doing it. I don't know if Wisconsin can score on anybody. I know they got the garbage time late touchdown against Oregon on an underthrown deep ball into the wind. That was the only reason they scored in that game. Until halfway through the fourth quarter, they completed one pass.
Mm.
Like, if I'm looking for a weakness on Washington, it's unquestionably, in my mind, their defense. It hasn't been as bad as some maybe thought at times this year. But that's, like, if you're going to capitalize on them, that's the area that you need to be able to take advantage of. And I don't know if Wisconsin can score on anybody. And so in bad elements as well, like you tell me it's low scoring, that's fine. This game's going to be 17-0. I don't know if Washington will light them up, again, because of the elements, but I'm going to take the Huskies to cover that number on the road. Last but not least, the game everybody is eagerly awaiting. 7 o'clock kick on the CW. 7:15, 7 o'clock?
I think 7:15.
7:15, oddly specific.
This is very awful, and I'm not going to be very invested in this one.
No, it's not a great game. Sam Houston State is winless, and they are in Corvallis, and the Beavers, your Beavers, are favored by 20 points.
Yeah, give me the Beavs. Don't care who plays quarterback. Doesn't matter. Sam Houston is maybe the worst team in all of college
it's
football.
It's them and UMass.
It's them or the Minutemen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anytime you're in contention with the Minutemen,
Beavs
going to
run
know,
wild.
Not great.
Yeah, they'll cover.
Yeah.
What's the weather like in Corvallis on Saturday night?
I think it's supposed to be okay. It might be chilly, but I think it'll be okay.
I do think we're supposed to be dry now for a while.
Are we?
Yeah, I think after today it's supposed to be dry for a couple days till Monday, maybe.
Give me a score prediction. 34-7.
That's a cover. They call that a cover.
They call that a dominating cover.
They lost to UNLV 38-21, 37-20 to Hawaii, 55-0 to Texas. New Mexico State got them 37-10. They damn near pulled off an upset against Jacksonville State. They throw the records out when those two teams play.
Can't forget that one.
Their last game, though, was at Louisiana Tech, and they lost 55-14. Now, I don't know if you're going to beat them 55-14, but I imagine their talent is not that different between Louisiana Tech and Oregon State, and Oregon State is the bet here, minus 20. Give me the Beavs to cover the number. There you go. Big Pack Picks every Thursday, usually at 8:45.
Can you believe we got to a point where we all just took Oregon State minus 20?
I don't know if it's as much about Oregon State as it is who they're playing this weekend.
Yeah, it's kind of wild to still say it out loud, though. Beavs minus the 20.
Last time they were a big wood dog or a big wood favorite, they, I want to say, were losing or tied at the half against Lafayette. What was the score at halftime?
They were losing.
They were losing at halftime, right? One. And then they blew them out in the second half and they covered the number.
They found the can to open up.
Oh, my God, are they going to lose to Lafayette at home? That was like 2 weeks ago, dude. That's not that far in the rearview mirror.
Give me the 20.
Well, I'll take the 20. There you go. Big Pack Picks. We'll see how we do. And we'll recap them and make our picks for next week's game next Thursday. Let's start the final hour with the Magic Hat. We'll explain if you're new to it and excited for it. We got some football stuff to get to in the NFL in the final hour. We're back after this. 105.1 FM, The Fam.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.